Welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North podcast. I'm Sarah Yacoub along with Pat Krylow and Kirk Gangstad.
All right. So
now, tell them why before we get to the sad part of the pandemic.
Every time we talk about COVID, I'm like, we should play Love Potion number 9. Because then, like, if we convince people that the vaccine is like a love potion where, like, they find their future mate,
they might want to take it
more than they currently do.
All right.
So that's why we played Love Potion number 9. Okay, now for the seriousness of the situation. So just this week, the Wisconsin death toll from COVID passed 9,000.
Unreal.
And I read that, you know, since June 1st, out of that 9,000, about 1,500 people have died. And this is when the vaccines were readily available. So that means that 17% of all the deaths that's happened from COVID in Wisconsin, that's 1 out of 6 people who have died from COVID, are those who have chosen not to get the vaccine because they were worried that it might hurt them.
Or a whole host of other bits of misinformation or hesitancy or what have you. And so now we're going through another spike of cases, which lead to hospitalizations, which lead to deaths. And so as you can imagine from my day job over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, we've been following this depressingly huge jump. And most of that is thought to be of the Delta variant. So just imagine what's going to happen when the Omicron variant finally takes root here. Right now, as of Wednesday, when we tape this in northern Wisconsin, out of 404 intensive care unit beds, ICU beds, out of 404 beds, there are 3 available right now for whether it's COVID or a heart attack or whatever the case may be. Of the 194 intermediate care beds in the Northwest region, only 3 of those beds are available. Statewide, there are only 49 ICU beds left. The other 1,300 or so are filled up. And of course, the vast majority, Sarah, are people who are not vaccinated.
Thank you, Pat. We are so blessed to have Dr. Anna Corey, an assistant professor of medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, here with us tonight. She is specifically in the Division of Infectious Diseases, so somebody that we should all want to listen to because she knows a lot about this stuff. Dr. Corey received her medical degree from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and a master's in public health from Harvard University. She completed a residency in internal medicine and a fellowship in infectious diseases at the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics. She joined the Medical College of Wisconsin faculty in 2017 and specializes in the treatment of infections in solid organs and bone marrow transplant recipients. We are so happy to have her join us. Dr. Corey, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of all your advocacy work, and it's very much appreciated.
Well, we appreciate your experience here because, again, for folks who want to say, I want to do my own research, the doctor here has done the she knows how to research. This is, Sarah, this is somebody to listen to.
Well, you know, I'm the daughter of 2 PhD scientists. My dad's at NIH. And so, you know, my husband's a PhD scientist. And so I know intimately how much money goes into research. So when someone says I'm doing my own research, I'm like, I promise you, the 20 minutes on Google doesn't compare to the trillions of dollars that we spend figuring this stuff out. But Dr. Corey, I mean, I feel like we're bending over backwards doing mental gymnastics, trying to figure out how to reach people. You know, what have you found to be effective? You know, we all care about each other and our family members, and no one wants anyone to get sick or to die or to overwhelm our medical community. What can we do that we're not already doing?
Well, I think, you know, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, I have these conversations almost every day in my clinic, and, you know, it does get very exhausting, but I, you know, force myself to have the conversations because I have seen over the last almost 2 years, I mean, I've seen countless numbers of people in the hospital with COVID. I've seen, you know, a number of my patients die. I work with a very vulnerable population in terms of bone marrow and solid organ transplant patients die. And, you know, I just need to know that I did talk to people about the vaccine. So I make sure that I do that. I just feel like we're fighting two different battles here. I mean, of equal magnitude, we're fighting the pandemic of COVID, the actual disease, and we're also fighting a pandemic of misinformation. And I see it every day. I try to kind of stay in tune with what is people are saying on social media, what are the common misconceptions going around, whether, you know, it varies, it's too new, the process was rushed. You know, I try to kind of see what people are going to say. I try to have those open conversations, and I don't come at it, you know, like I know, and you know, you don't know anything. I ask them what are their concerns, you know, what are their hesitations, what have they heard? And I have been successful sometimes, not all the time for sure though.
So, by the way, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think 20 years from now, there's gonna be history books written about what the immense failure to get, you know, of people to believe how dangerous this pandemic was. I mean, this is gonna be a blip in our history that will never go away. But let me ask you the question. We wanna get to brass tacks here because we do have a new variant. Can you give us an overview of what the current booster recommendations are? This gets beamed up to the Northwoods, and the Northwoods is probably is at least vaxxed as in part of the state that in Wisconsin. So we really wanna get the right information out to these folks.
Sure. So, I mean, vaccination is still the most effective tool we have to fight the pandemic. You know, we do have some other tools such as, you know, masking, social distancing, some therapeutics, you know, better ways to treat our ICU patients, but those all have limitations. And so really vaccination is how the pandemic part of COVID ends. And I truly believe that. So, you know, I definitely encourage everyone to get the primary series. But we also are now recommending a booster dose for everyone over the age of 18 right now. So the boosters are for people over the age of 18. So this is an additional dose of a COVID vaccine 6 months after the primary dose series if you initially received one of the mRNA vaccines. So if you received Pfizer or Moderna, so you're going to get your booster 6 months later. If you received a primary series of J&J, the single dose, Johnson & Johnson, you'd get your booster 2 months later. And in terms of the booster, you can choose. You can choose whichever one you want, Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J. I usually recommend going with one of the mRNA vaccines for the booster. I think, you know, I've heard that Pfizer is looking into, you know, going down an age group to age 16 for boosters pretty soon. So we can, you know, keep that in mind. But I definitely encourage everyone to get it, but especially if you're older than 50, you have any comorbidities, health problems, or if you're immunocompromised, that's really important to get the booster.
So we've heard at the beginning of this, well, this is just like the flu. Well, the numbers are telling us, no, this is not just like the flu. But now I feel like we're shifting into a narrative of, okay, it's bad, it's real, but there's nothing we can do. We just have to sit back and all die. And, you know, what do you say to people that sort of have this idea that there's nothing we can do? I mean, I'm hearing you say, go out and get vaccinated. But to the people that just think, you know, we'll just ride this out and, you know, this whole herd immunity idea as if, you know, we got out of polio without vaccines, if I'm pronouncing it right. You know, how do we address those false, bizarre messages?
Well, I think, you know, what I tell people is that, so the initial vaccine series is holding up very well in terms of protection against hospitalization and death. So that has been a huge success. I mean, I used to see people over the age of 65 just dying, you know, in the ICU all the time before. And now we have great uptake in that population that's the most highly vaccinated population, the older adults. And we're just not seeing them as much, you know, in the hospital. And that's great. So that's what vaccines do. You know, the vaccines, the primary series is not holding up as well against mild infection, which we all, you know, are wish it were, but you know, that's because of a couple different factors. The studies were done, you know, when the Alpha variant was predominant, and now this summer it shifted and we're, you know, almost all Delta starting from this summer, and Delta is more transmissible. And so you're just seeing a little bit, you're seeing those milder COVID cases now, more of them. So the booster, that's where the booster can really help. So the booster is really going to help with those milder, you know, preventing those milder cases and taking it back up to, you know, where we hope it should be, more in the 90% rate of infections. So it's very important for those older adults, especially because we know that the immunity does wane off a little bit, you know, after that 6 month period of time. And so we know that they need that. And, you know, if we have more effective vaccination with boosters, we're going to have, you know, less spread, just fewer cases, and it's just going to be better overall.
All right, doctor. So let's make sure that we get in, you know, you're an expert. You're one of the top experts in Wisconsin. Tell us a little about Omicron so that people don't get freaked out, or if they should be freaking out, like you can tell us to get freaked out.
Well, I don't think we know quite enough to get freaked out. So Omicron was first reported to the WHO on November 26th, and it was first noted by the country of South Africa. And I think, you know, we should definitely be stay away from, you know, blaming or that kind of thing, because it's because of their great monitoring and, you know, real openness in terms of reporting to the global scientific community that they have detected this. So I think that's a really good thing. Now it's been reported in over 20 countries, including the US. It looks like there was someone who came back from South Africa today to California. So, you know, hopefully the CDC is doing great monitoring, and hopefully we'll pick up the cases that are probably here. So in terms of what we know about Omicron, it looks like what's concerning people is the fact that it has quite a few mutations in the spike protein. So the spike protein is on the surface of the virus, and that's what allows entry into the human cells and allows it to, you know, bind and gain entry. And so that's the major target of the antibodies that are generated from some natural immunity from the vaccine. That's what the monoclonal antibodies do. So the concern is that it might be able to evade some of those antibodies that will be produced, so making those vaccines, natural infection, or the monoclonals less effective. I think it's unlikely that it's going to make them completely, you know, ineffective. That's probably not what we're going to see at all. The vaccines still seem to be holding up very well against, you know, hospitalization and death with other variants. So I think there's reason for hope there. There's some, you know, thought and early reports out of South Africa that it could be more transmissible. So we'll have to kind of see how that pans out. So we just won't know more for a few weeks. I think, you know, the biopharmaceutical companies have said, you know, they're able to tweak their vaccine. The companies that produce the monoclonal antibodies are able to tweak those as well. So hopefully we can keep up with this. But, you know, this is one of the things that I tell some of my younger, healthier patients, you know, why should I get vaccinated? You know, I tell them, you know, are you going to die of COVID if you're young, healthy, and no comorbidities? You know, probably not. You're probably unlikely to die, end up in the hospital. But, you know, if you're a person that's causing COVID to spread, you know, unchecked in the community, it's going to be replicating more. It's going to be more prone to mutations. And then, you know, this is how it carries on.
This is it. And I think we're weaponizing, you know, people who don't even realize it. So, Dr. Corey, in the short time that we have left here, you've been wonderful about explaining the science, but let's take the doctor away from your name here for a second. And as Anna Corey, healthcare provider who works with other healthcare providers, who've talked to countless people, who've had to care for countless people, to see this happening again and to still have some of these same conversations. How are you, how are your colleagues, how are your friends doing, frankly, as we head into a winter season that already was going to have flu and RSV, and now you have this? What should people know about how their neighbors who are healthcare providers are really doing with this?
Oh, that's nice of you to ask. I think, you know, there definitely is quite a bit of burnout in the medical community. I think, you know, there's a lot of issues that go into that. You know, a lot of hospitals and clinics are short staffed right now, just with the, you know, shortage of nurses and other healthcare professionals. So that's causing strain. Like you mentioned, you know, RSV is causing hospitalizations at children's hospitals. So that's putting a real strain. I think, you know, the concern is as we go into winter, we're seeing COVID hospitalizations increase. We're starting to see flu now. There's been some outbreaks on college campuses. So definitely would recommend everyone over 6 months get vaccinated against flu too, just to put in a quick pitch. You can also get that with your COVID booster. There's no issues with that at all.
Nope.
You can get them at the same time.
Yep.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of burnout, and it is frustrating to see all the misinformation. And like you said, just to constantly, every day in my clinic, I just dread, you know, I dread, my cat is in the background, sorry.
I dread the Zoom cat, trust me.
I dread looking at the chart, and I hate to pull up the WIR vaccination history. It makes me feel anxious, because I know that when I don't see those COVID vaccines on there, I'm going to have a difficult conversation. It's going to slow me down in clinic. It's right. Just kind of this feeling of dread.
Well, yeah, so, because it's something that we did not think we would still be trying to break through, you know, those bubbles that misinformation, you know, has led to. So I, again, you know, as somebody who, you know, you're working at the Medical College of Wisconsin, my wife is a Medical College of Wisconsin alum, and to see this frustration still is puzzling. But like you said in the very beginning, it is these conversations with trusted people, trusted medical providers, friends, neighbors who are listening to this, who are going to have conversations over holiday dinner, that can make all the difference. And so we really, really thank you for what you're doing, Dr. Anna Corey, for being our guest today and for all you do.
Thank you so much.
All right. We are going to take our final break, and then we'll talk more about the state Supreme Court decision on gerrymandered maps. When we come back, you're up north.
Air, thank you.
Oh, thank you. I hope I wasn't too negative. You ended it on a nice positive.